Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
But today I want to take you back to the beginning. You won't have any trouble finding our passage. It's the first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. But I do want you to open your Bible. I want you to see it in your text as we think about this morning that the fact is that we have a God that is indeed beyond. Beyond everything, beyond all things, beyond all that He has made. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you, and I hope that we can just see our Savior, our God, lifted up in a new way. There's no way that we can fully comprehend Him. There's no way we can fully appreciate all that He is and who He is. But with God's help, we can move in that direction. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says that God is the creator. The Word of God does not blush to say that. It just says that in just simple declarative language, that He is indeed the creator. It also, it implies what is very obvious, that God indeed exists, that there is a God. He is real. He is there. The Bible does not set out to prove there is a God or to explain where God, what was God doing before the creation? Simply, it begins with this point of reference that we as humans have, this point where creation began, where all that is part and sum total of creation, where it begins, and it begins with God's creative work. So today, I just want to share a simple idea with you, but very profound as we think our way through it, to see that, first of all, our God is beyond all that He has created, all that He has created. Now, if you look at this verse again, you will notice that there's actually four parts to it. There's the creative part, God created, and we accept that on faith. We believe it. This is what God has narrated to us as a factual point of history at the very beginning. But then there's three other components. So if you just want to take a look at this verse, and I'll just bring it up on the screen so that you can see it, because I want to show you something, how this all fits together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want to put three categories in there. I'm not adding to the Word of God, but I want to take these three portions of God's Word and put them into three categories. So if you just bring up the next picture, you'll see. In the beginning, which is a designation of time, when time began. In the beginning, there's a marked point where maybe we could imagine where some cosmic divine clock started ticking. And you and I live in a creation, in a universe, a cosmos, that time is an element of that. It's one of the dimensions of our experience. You and I keep track of time. Most of you appeared to be on time this morning. If you came late, I wasn't looking, so you got away with it. We mark time, we keep time. We also know that things change in time. You see a child, and over time they grow to maturity. As we live our life, we notice the changes that take place in us. Then when we grow older, we understand that the time is that inescapable quality of our existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens. I just want to insert the category of space there. A spatial component. Now, you understand that in this chronology that God takes 6 days to create and finish everything that He's making in this universe. And on the sixth day, He makes man the pinnacle of the living things of the created order. On the seventh day, He rested, not because He was tired, but He rested because He was finished. And all things were as God intended them to be. And He takes that moment to rest and enjoy and experience and so forth. But you understand it's not till day four that God sprinkles into the heavens all the stars and all the planets, all the things you see in the background of that Hubble Space Telescope pictures, the background of that, and also in the bulletin this morning. All of that doesn't occur until day four. So in Genesis 1:1, it's just space. It's just empty spatial dimension. You and I understand that we live in a universe that's made up of time and made up of space. And you understand that within this universe that God spoke into existence, herein recorded in 1:1 of Genesis, that there are certain laws that have to do with space and time. For instance, you are sitting in a particular seat. You are the only one who can sit in that seat at this time. You cannot occupy two places at the same time, okay? It's understandable. There's a spatial quality. And then lastly, in the beginning, God created time. God created the heavens, the spatial component, and then he created the earth. Now, the earth is the only matter in existence at this point because he hasn't made all of the other things of the heavens yet. And the earth is not finished because he's going to spend some time forming it and making it and putting all the plants on it and all the things that are involved in the creation of this planet that we enjoy. But it is matter. It is tangible. It is stuff. You and I live in a created order that God created that is made up of a time dimension, a space dimension, and a dimension of matter, of stuff. And I understand energy flows into all that, and I'm not going to give you a physics lesson, nor probably could I, but I just want you to see, the Bible describes a perfect depiction, in very simplistic terms, but a perfect depiction of what we experience. But the fact is, and this is our key this morning, this God who is beyond, God speaks it into existence. He created it. So he was there before time. He is outside of the spatial matter component. He is beyond all of that. Theologians have coined a term to describe that, and the term is transcendent. Transcendent. If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll see an explanation that says something like this, speaking of God existing apart from and not subject to the limitations of the material universe. Often contrasted with immanent. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Let's see if we can make an even more simplistic definition as we look forward. Transcendent means simply this, that God is apart, beyond, and above all that he created. Now, anytime we try to perceive what we cannot perceive, we try to create a picture or an illustration. Understand, any illustration is always going to break down on some level. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect depiction of reality. But if you can think of it this way, and this is how I think of it, maybe this is even too simplistic, that the entire universe God created, I just think of like a big bubble. And within that bubble, there is time, there is space, there is matter, there is you, there is I, there is all the stuff that we experience. God is apart from that and beyond that. The only problem with that illustration is if you think of a bubble, it has a clearly defined outline. It would appear to us, anyway, that the created universe, there is no boundaries out there. But still, a boundless experience is still something that God is apart from, separate from, and beyond. Let me read you a quote, which maybe will help as well, because I want to get this concept of transcendence in our mind, and then we're going to find out how this affects us in life today. I found this definition. It's a bit lengthy, but if you'll forgive me for reading it, listen carefully. To be transcendent means to exist above and independent from, to rise above, surpass, succeed. By this definition, God is the only transcendent being. The Lord God Almighty, the El Shaddai of the Old Testament, created all things on the earth, beneath the earth, and in the heavens above, yet exists above and independent from them. And listen to this part of the quote. Listen carefully. All things are upheld by his mighty power, yet he is upheld by himself alone. God holds this universe in some sort of control and infusing with his involvement, but God needs no one to uphold him. The whole universe exists in him and for him that he may receive glory, honor, and praise. A transcendent God. Let me try one more illustration, which I hope will enlighten you, not confuse you. And I'm going to use a storybook that maybe some of you ran into in school days, or you've had children or grandchildren who've read it. Maybe there's a whole series of books produced by Scholastic that were based on the character that was known as Flat Stanley, written by an author by the name of Jeff Brown. And in this fanciful story, Flat Stanley has an accident and a bulletin board falls on him, and thereafter he is completely flat. Now, again, this is a kid's story. You got to put a little imagination in there. Now, you might think that would be a real liability to be completely flat. But Flat Stanley uses this to his advantage. He finds out that he needs to get in somewhere. He could just slide under the door. He can do amazing things like that. He also finds that he can fold himself up and be put in an envelope, and he can travel just anywhere he wants to by sending himself in the mail. So maybe you've seen this in some schools. Here's a representation of a school setting where the children have made this cutout picture of Flat Stanley. You can see he's standing in an envelope. And they would make their own Flat Stanleys and fold him up, and then they would send him somewhere. And whoever got the envelope would unfold them and get their picture taken with them and send back to the school children all the things they experienced at that location. So it was sort of an educational thing to send Flat Stanley around. But let's just imagine Flat Stanley is completely flat. Rather than existing in a three-dimensional spatial environment, he exists in a two-dimensional spatial environment. The only thing he can experience is on that flat plane of that screen, okay? He doesn't know we are out here. He can't experience anything on this third-dimensional plane of depth. It's only the horizontal plane that he's on. Okay, got it? Some of you are wondering, I've never heard anything like this before. He's talking about flat people now. Now, if I want to interact with his environment, I could go up there and stick my hand on the left side of him, and suddenly a handprint appears out of nowhere, because he doesn't experience this plane, and suddenly I've interacted with his environment. If I want to drive him crazy, I put a hand on this side, and then I put it on this side, and put it over his head, and things are appearing all around him, and he'd just go crazy. If I want to communicate with him, I could write a message on a piece of paper, and I could go up and I could stick it on that flat plane, and he could read it and hopefully receive a message from me. Now, sometimes shrinking your dimensions in your thinking down helps you understand dimensions beyond. God exists in a plane that is beyond us. He's apart, separate from it. But he can reach in and interact with us in this time, space, matter universe in which we live. And in fact, he does. Sometimes when we think of the doctrine of a transcendent God, we think, well, that must mean God is far away. Because you said he's separate and apart and beyond. But God chooses to invade into this environment in which we live and be a part of us. Let me read a verse for you, actually two verses from Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. So God has, even though he's a part above and beyond this universe in which you and I live, he interacts with it. He has spoken. He has communicated. As we looked at last week, he has visited in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem to be our Savior. You think of miracles. And you see many of them in the Bible, and where something that is against the laws of physics and science that we know of, that God intervenes, I would suggest to you that probably what God does is not a miracle to God. It's just what God does, because he's God. But when he reaches into this universe of time and space and matter, and he upsets the normal course of things to us on the receiving end, that's a miracle. Someone walking on water is not normal. When Jesus walked on water, that was God invading this universe and its laws so that that which is beyond the natural happens, which is supernatural. We say, indeed, it was a miracle. Let's talk now about what this means for us, this God who is indeed beyond. First of all, it means this, that our God has all the time in the world. Maybe I could expand that, all the time in the universe. You and I have this unseen but very tangible, knowable quality of time. The sun rises, the sun sets. A week begins, a week ends. A calendar page is turned. A new year begins. Everything is in change. Everything moves forward. And you and I are locked forever in the eternal present, from our point of view, now and current. The only thing we can deal with is what's going on right now. But we have some knowledge of the past through our memories or our shared memories of other people. So we have a bit of the past. We are interacting with the future, or with the present, but the future is at best just a guess or a hope. None of us knows the future. In fact, we pay good money to people who can, we hope, can tell us the trends of the future so we know how to react or not react or whatever. But at best, it's just a guess or based on data or research, but we don't know the future. Here's the good news. You and I have a God who has all time in front of Him, and He can interact with the past or the present or the future just as easily as we sometimes think we can interact with the present. He is beyond time. And here's the great news. If someone you know knew the future, and they were kind enough to give you some key information about the future, do you think that could be used to your advantage? That you have someone with insider knowledge to be the one that we would listen to. So we have a God who is beyond, who has all the time in the world. I suggest to you the proper reaction is this, that we should follow the lead of the one who is outside of time, who knows all things, past, present, and certainly the future. He's the one to be leading. He knows where things are going to go. He knows how things are going to trend. He knows what is best. And the great news is, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can follow the lead of a God who is beyond time itself. And He has your best interest in mind. Secondly, our God is everywhere. He is everywhere all at the same time. If He made the spatial component, and the Word of God declares that He's everywhere all present. Now, by the way, all three of these qualities, you can find biblical accounts that confirm that God is beyond, above, and apart from these things. When you think about time, you remember in Joshua 10, when He made the sun stand still so they'd have time to defeat the Ammonite kings. And when you think about a spatial component, that God is everywhere. Remember in John chapter 1? Philip was called to be a disciple. Philip goes and finds Nathanael, and he brings Nathanael to meet Jesus. He's never met Jesus before, and Jesus says, "There's an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael's like, "How does he know that?" And Jesus goes on to say, he says, "Because when Philip called you, you were sitting under a particular tree." How did Jesus see that when He wasn't there? That's because He is God, and He knows everything there is to know because He's everywhere present. We call that omniscience. And omnipresence, all in play there. He knows everything. He's everywhere present. So God is everywhere. You and I can only be at one place at one time, and sometimes, even though I'm at one place at one time, sometimes my mind isn't even there. You understand how that works sometimes. But we are in this setting. Sometimes we don't. Not only do we feel short on time, but sometimes we feel short on wisdom. Well, here's the great news for you. That we have a God who knows everything because He is everywhere and He is above all things, even place reality. Did you ever think about this? Every decision that we make is a turning point that causes all sorts of other ramifications. I remember when I was graduating, soon to graduate from high school, I was trying to determine where I should go to college. And I applied to three colleges. Two of them were Christian schools, and one was a university here in West Virginia. But I really felt called to ministry. I got accepted to all three. So now it was just sort of down to two because I really wanted to pursue ministry. And I remember just praying, "Lord, I don't know. You're going to have to show me. I want to follow Your leading. I want to make the right choice." So then you track this down. So I go to the school. And a particular church I started attending, I started noticing this young lady who was playing the piano in this church. And we grew to love each other, and we got married, and then we have children and our grandchildren. And, you know, just what if you'd have taken another route? You know, now you can what-if yourself to death. I understand that. But isn't it better to come back into decisions of life and trust this God who is everywhere and knows everything, and He knows all the options and all the possibilities, and trust Him and follow Him? That should lead us to this one. We should simply do this. We should obey His commands. Nothing could be more simpler. Nothing could be simpler. Nothing could be more simple. Nothing could be more profound. That we would just do what God... By the way, it works. God blesses when we obey. We are honoring Him, and He honors us in return. You want to know what God wants? The vast majority of His will is revealed in the pages of the 66 books that make up this Bible that we teach and we love and we read and we study and we get along with God to spend time with Him. And then the last component you see here. In the beginning time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth. The matter, the stuff. Let's just say it this way. Yes, God has all the time in the world. God is everywhere, and God owns everything. He owns everything. It's His. He made it. All the stuff. All of the tangible stuff that occupies the space and the time components of this tripartite universe. Or cosmos, or if you want to use the fancy ones that the physicists say today, the continuum that we live in. It's made up of these dimensions, and God gives recognition of that's the way it was made and that's the way it functions. But it also gives recognition, and throughout the scriptures, that God is beyond, above, and apart from this. But He's also involved with His creation. You think about, I shared a couple stories with you, but you think about stuff, you think about matter. The story I run to, which is recorded in all four of the Gospels, Mark 6 is one of those places, but all four of the Gospels, it tells the story where there was a great multitude of people, thousands of people were gathered, and Jesus looks at the disciples and says, you give them something to eat. Somehow this wasn't on the agenda, this wasn't the plan, and He asks them, what do you have? He says, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Basically, they had 1 sack lunch for 1 little boy for 1 day. That's basically what that amounted to. You know, little fish, little barley cake, probably, 2 barley cakes. And it says, well, bring them to me. They bring them to Jesus. He blesses it, He breaks it, and starts passing it out. And I wish someone would have had their smartphone to video that. Wouldn't you love to have video of this? Just, how does that, what would that look like? And they start passing it out. And it says in Scripture that 5,000 men were fed. Now, for whatever reason, the women and children were counted. So probably easily 15,000 people. And they all had more than enough to eat. And then Jesus sends them out to collect the fragments. And they wind up with more bread than they started with after 15,000 people ate till they were full. How does that happen? God can reach into this time, space, matter, universe, and He can manipulate it to do the miraculous. Have you ever had something that just doesn't make sense? It just doesn't make sense that God just somehow, He pulled it off, He blessed? You know, we pray for God to heal, and God oftentimes does. We don't dictate when he chooses to, and sometimes it's His time to call somebody home. You understand, time dictates that we are not here permanently. And the laws that govern all things indicate that that is true. But God can intervene because God owns everything. You ever feel a little short on resources? Ever been in a situation where money's tight? Maybe that's right now. Maybe that's some other period in life. You got to trust and come to this God that is in charge of all the stuff. He owns everything. And He can distribute it, and He can help, and He can even feed hungry people with 1 little boy's lunch. Sometimes we run low on the resources of help. I need some help here. I need some manpower. I need some energy. I need some help, and it's all falling on me. Is God able to keep you running in His strength beyond what would be expected? Absolutely. And as He told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's when you really see my strength on display. Sometimes we're just tired. I don't know how you celebrated Christmas. I hope you had a great time, whatever that was. Some of you look a little tired this morning. Maybe you've been cleaning and cooking and wrapping and shuffling here and shuffling there and going here and going there. Some of you look a little tired this morning. Why don't you take Tuesday off and then we'll all go back to work on Wednesday? How about that? That sound like a plan? Sometimes we're a little short on energy. But you know what? God, who made these bodies and made all things, He can give us strength. He can give us the resources. And for this purpose, it's not just so that we can do whatever we want, but so that we can do this, serve Him faithfully. God calls us to serve Him. He gives us opportunities. And there's many of you that serve in a very identifiable ministry right here in the church. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your gift and your service. There's people right now that are teaching the children and taking care of the babies downstairs so that we could have this time of worship. And on and on it goes, all multiplied many, many ways. But you know, our service for God goes way beyond just what we do in some, you know, some order of jobs, some organizational chart. There's many opportunities. Sometimes just being kind to that neighbor, or reaching out to somebody that needs to know Jesus, or serving a family member that's getting on in years, or just paying attention to that child that just needs your love. I simply want to ask you to do this, and this is number three. I'll just go back to it one more time. That we just call that getting busy. That's our service statement. And I would just encourage you as we launch into a new year that you simply do this. Add this to your prayer list. And just ask God this one simple thing. Lord, help me not miss any opportunities that you've appointed for me to serve. Lord, don't let us miss that opportunity. Maybe it's just a one-time, one-chance point in time, or maybe it's ongoing and frequent and daily or weekly. And to see it all ultimately is that. So serve Him faithfully by getting busy. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. This time, space, matter universe, God is apart from, beyond, above, but He's also intimately involved on the inside as well. Now, our enemy does not like us serving faithfully. Our enemy does not like us obeying His commands. Our enemy does not like us following His lead. So sometimes he throws an alternative. Pastor Adam shared that story about his, I guess it was his niece or that had the little watch, and she's walking around. I explained to him after the first service, I can tell you what that watch is because my granddaughter got one of those watches too. And what you do is you follow the leading on the watch. And I saw her, she was walking in her family room, walking kind of a figure eight. All of them, what are you doing? Well, on the screen, If you follow the directions, you can go to a certain place and you can capture a monster right there on your phone. It's kind of like Pokemon Go kind of thing. And so she was highly entertained catching things that really don't exist. Now that's fun if it's a child's game or even an adult game. But you know what our enemy likes to do? He likes to get us chasing things that are not real. Hey, if you can get all the stuff you can get, if you can get all the things you ever dreamed of, if you can just succeed monetarily and materially, and if God's blessed you, that He's blessed you, but if you follow this lie that the point of life is getting as much stuff as you can, and that's what you think is going to make you happy, fulfilled, and joyous, you've grasped at something that isn't really there. Those things God gave you, He's gifted you to use for His glory. Not so that you can selfishly think it's going to make a difference. Or, life is all about having fun. Just having pleasure. There's nothing wrong with having fun. Nothing wrong with doing fun things with your family. You know, as long as it's within the confines of what God approves. But there's nothing wrong with having fun. But that's not the ultimate point of life. If I could just make it to the next party, the next fun time, the next vacation, you still wind up a bit empty because you're grasping at something that's not ultimately the point. Sometimes he sets out something that is well outside of the bounds of what is proper. That relationship that God does not approve. That activity that God condemns. That violation of his standards which God has already spoken of. Our enemy gets us chasing things that are not real and not there. What God calls us to do is simply this. This God who is beyond all things, the God who has made all things that we know of in this bubble of this universe that we experience in a tri-dimensional way, that God can reach in and do whatever He wants with it. And someday He will remake it. The only thing He's going to leave out of the remake is it's going to be remade yet without sin.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.